Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisors and senior editor for GoldEagle.com. I'm excited to have Christopher back on the show because, hey Christopher, it's been a number of years since I last featured you on this show, but in all fairness, I have been following along with your work, your YouTube videos, and on your website, iGoldAdvisor.com. I really like your technical analysis when it comes to precious metals, also blending into some other markets, but we are going to really focus on gold in this segment and starting off with the long-term outlook for gold. Now, you and I, as I mentioned, chatted years ago, and quite frankly, when we chatted, it was more or less in the middle of that boring, really boring period for gold, as it was, let's say, building a base, a long-term base. I want to start off with what some technicians are saying they're seeing in this long-term, almost 10-year chart of a big cup and handle forming. We're in the handle portion right now. The cup took about 10 years to form, so this is very long-term. Christopher, what does this chart show you? Is this a cup and handle formation for gold?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, for having me back on the show. It has been way too long, and it's great to speak with you again. And I'll just give you guys a little plug. I want to say the Corlin Economics Report was one of the most influential shows for me back in the mid-2000s when I first began learning about the sector. So, yeah, everyone, keep listening.
Oh, thanks, man. We had like a good year and a half. then.
So let's talk about this gold chart, the long-term perspective. The cup and handle formation is what people call, if you imagine the shape of a teacup, and a teacup has a handle along one side of it. And so if you can imagine the consolidation for gold from 2011 through the 2020 peak to be a big cup, you know, all the way from 1920, the 2011 peak, down to 1045, and back up to slightly over 2000. Functionally speaking, those peaks were close enough that we can call them functionally similar resistance zone. So that's the cup, and then the correction from the August 2020 peak would be the handle of the teacup, as you can imagine from a silhouette of that teacup, slopes in the opposite direction of the cup, and that represents basically a final consolidation before the pattern resolves upward. Now, in technical analysis, the key defining feature for identifying a cup and handle formation is the impulsive breakout nature from that final handle correction or the lack thereof. So we've seen every downward structure from that 2020 peak, in other words, from the handle. We've seen every downward structure broken already. The last semblance of a resistance level that I could talk about from that handle correction was about 1860, just 3 weeks ago. So we've seen that broken, and now the key thing to watch for is how impulsive is the advance to take out the 2020 high. If this little mini consolidation, you know, pullback that we're in right now in gold, if this only lasts for, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're powering up toward 2000 and back toward the 2020 peak at 2074, if we take that scenario A, then this cup and handle formation is going to feature an advance up to a long-term target equal to the depth of the entire cup added on to the breakout point, which gives us a target of roughly $2,800. And if this is a cup and handle formation, that will happen in an impulsive manner. That will be something like an 18-month, very strong advance in gold with very shallow pullbacks only every couple months. And we'll be talking about $2,800 gold perhaps by early 2023, you know, within the next 18 months. So the key feature is to watch how impulsive the move above a short-term resistance zone here between 1920 and 1960. If we just slice higher through that, It's Katie bar the door, guys. Make sure you have all your positions finalized because we're going higher and we're going higher quicker. If we take a slightly more conservative approach here, let's say this correction under 1960, let's say that lasts, you know, into the late part of the summer, we will still have the same long-term target. It's just that that target of 2,800 is going to take more like 3 to 5 years to play out.
One follow-up question then here, Christopher, when it comes to how long that recent correction was. Look, we went on a pretty much two-year run from the bottom back in 2018 at 1167 in gold, the whole way up to pretty much 2100. It was about a two-year run, and then we had about an eight-month correction. Time-wise, how does that fit into your technicals?
You know, a lot of people would say that that's not enough time to correct that entire advance, as you said, from, you know, 1188 or so up to 2075, almost a $900 advance there. Some people would say 8 months is not long enough. You need more time. However, when you're looking at the larger picture for gold and you're saying, well, look, gold is basically here in 2021 at the same level that it was in 2011. That is a 10-year consolidation that is attempting to break out now. So in that case, 8 months and, you know, a couple hundred dollars on the downside is sufficient when you're looking at the bigger picture of that entire 10-year cup.
Well, Christopher, just kind of zooming in from the bigger picture to maybe more in the near term, when we look at some of those resistance levels you talked about, like the 1920, which pairs up well with the prior 2011 peak, and the 1960 area of resistance, which there's a lot of congestion there with some prior peaks and troughs and just a lot of trading activity in that 1960 zone. Do you think in the short term, gold could get up there and maybe get swatted back down for a while before it starts that impulsive leg higher to break out of the cup and handle formation?
Yeah, I could very well see that happening, Shad. You know, those levels. And actually, let me say one thing. From the standpoint of someone who is heavily invested in this sector, I actually would prefer to see that outcome. I would prefer to see the more conservative outcome here. And by that, I mean, there is this resistance zone between 1920, as you said, the former 2011 peak. That's basically a psychological resistance level. You know, it's no coincidence that a week and a half ago, gold peaked at just above 1916, within $4 of that 2011 peak. That's a psychological resistance level. You have people that just remember it going all the way back to 2011, myself included, and you have some people saying, hey, on the chance that that's it, on the chance that gold's going to peak again, let's just get out here below 1920. So you have the bottom part of this resistance level at 1920, and then you have these several peaks going back to the fall of 2020. Going back to September, there was a peak at about 1965. Going back to November, there was a peak again at 1965. In January of this year, there was a peak at 1960. So when you have an important psychological resistance level at 1920, followed by clear reversal patterns at that 1960 level, what you have to do is consider that as a zone. So there's a zone of resistance coming up, 1920 to 1960. Now, back to your question, Shad. As someone who is heavily invested and who wants to remain invested in this sector, the best thing for precious metals investors would actually be if we see something like a correction here from 1920 or 1960 back down to 1800 first. That would be the best thing, because then you set up this entire correction from 2020, from that peak, you set that up as a really nice, almost mini inverse head and shoulders, mini cup shape consolidation. And then when you finally break out of that, let's say later this year, there's a ton of energy. There's a really nice platform to carry gold to the next level. Furthermore, a lot of these mining companies learn to start incorporating, let's say, 1800 plus into their economics of their deposits. It gives plenty of time for ratings to be adjusted. So that's my preferred scenario is actually the more conservative scenario. The more exciting but less sustainable scenario is if we just break higher, I mean, immediately through 1960, because then what we're talking about is gold's going to be entering a real parabola. You know, we talk about these parabolic curves where something takes on the shape of a hockey stick, you know, where it's first it's just gently sloping higher, like gold in 2017, 2018. Then we start to get a little bit more steep slope upward, and then we get this vertical. If we get that above 1960, it's going to be very exciting. It's going to be super profitable for all of us who are invested in this, but for about 18 months. And then I could see there being a correction from, let's say, 2,800. Maybe we overshoot to 3,000. You could see a correction from that 2,800 level back down to 2,000 after a mini parabola like that. You know, and then we'd have to talk about, hey, what's setting up for the longer term? So anyway, from the standpoint of someone who wants to see the best thing for the sector long term, I actually favor the more conservative route, even though it'd be slightly less exciting.
100%, because like you mentioned, the mining stocks have barely processed the pricing where we are now, even $1,800 or $1,700 gold, much less $1,900, and their valuations are still catching up. So I think a more measured increase would be better. So you kind of threw out there something I was going to ask you, that if we did shoot through 1960 and keep going, you mentioned 2,800 could even be a target up there, but it would be short-lived on the parabola, and then we'd be going down the other side. Let's say we take the slower approach, the more preferred method, and we have a little bit of a lull in the summer, and then gold starts ramping up. Where do you see an upside target for gold over a longer term period? Where do you think it could go, let's say over 2 years or 3 years, if we do break out of this pattern in a more measured way and have a more sustained run?
I like to take things in chunks. I can certainly make fundamental arguments for why gold would need to be worth, $5,000 or upward, depending on the scenario with the U.S. dollar, with a potential for high inflation or hyperinflation type of scenario. I could make those arguments fundamentally speaking. However, from a technical standpoint, where you are looking for visible, observable, calculable targets based on measurements, based on visible measurements from the charts, the only thing that I can reasonably calculate is 2,800 as a long-term target. Do I think that's going to be the end, reasonably speaking? No, I don't. But what I prefer to do is take that calculable target and then say, let's take it from there. When we get to there, we'll reevaluate a host of indicators, a host of calculations, and see if something is pointing to even higher prices.
All right, Christopher, let's take a step back from just the gold sector and talk commodities broadly, also compared to gold, because look, commodities broadly seem like they are in a bull market. We've even had some people make the comments of a commodity super cycle is just getting underway. That's a long-term comment. No one knows for sure, but across the board, commodities are a much more attractive investment, that's for sure. How are you seeing gold's moves compared to commodities and the broad up trend that all are in?
Yeah, this is a really powerful scenario here that is setting up for the entire commodity space, really all hard assets. It does look like there is a long-term bottom setting up in the sector. If I was to measure by the CRB commodity index, which is an index, an average of 19 commodities, which includes precious metals, but it's heavily weighted toward energy and industrial side of things, the CRB commodity index is basically breaking out as we're speaking of a sideways consolidation around the 200 level on the index, which goes back to 2013, 2014. And so you're getting like an 8-year breakout from an overall sideways moving consolidation. This is a powerful setup. This is a setup that could lead to a number of years of generally higher prices for commodities. It's different from the bottom that we saw in the crash of 2008, where everything sold off in the panic of 2008, and basically the commodities rebounded almost immediately. You know, it was like this V bottom. So you had a rebound immediately, and then there was like a two-year bull market into the peak of 2011, and then everything topped out. This is different what we're seeing now, because this is more like an eight-year bottom that is setting up. And after an eight-year bottom, you do not expect a market to skyrocket. You don't expect a market to, you know, from the CRB index, let's say where we are right now around the 200 level, you don't expect all-time highs in the commodities to be reached anytime within the next year or two. All-time highs on the CRB were around the 470, 470. So it's not going to be anytime soon, and there's going to be a lot of waves, a lot of backing and filling, you know, two steps forward, one and a half steps back, one and three quarters steps back even. But the power for a sustainable long-term advance is much greater from these longer-term bottoms. So I'm very pleased to see that. And I think this sets up for those mining companies that survived the bear market. You know, bear markets are great because it's like a wildfire in the forest. It weeds out the entities that are not strong enough to make it to the next stage. And so by default, the ones that survive the bear market are inherently the stronger ones. And so these companies that have survived the bear market after 2011, and now we're just rounding out of that, I think there's a lot of opportunity for proper stock picking. You know, we're talking over the next 1 to 2 decades. Like I said, it's not going to be every company. It's not going to be in a straight line. But if you have a several-year time horizon here and you're doing some proper company picking and evaluation, it's going to be a really profitable time.
All right, Christopher, great having you back on the show, buddy. Very encouraging words. And again, just coming from a very technical basis, which I really respect. And finally, I think we can say that the precious metal sector is setting up stronger from a technical perspective, and same with commodities broadly. Christopher, we're going to have you back on, but in the meantime, everybody can check you out at iGold Advisor. I'll post a link to your website and your YouTube page below. Christopher, great having you on the show, buddy. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much, Corey.